you know, accepting Christ, and we need to get Christ in us. And Paul talked about that. He said one of the mysteries was, the mystery among the Gentiles was Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
When we accept Christ, then we should be accepting what he taught. His ministry was of love and mercy. And if we look in Matthew 5, he talks about the law and how he was kind of raising the bar a little bit, because he talked about what the law said. The law says to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But he says, I say unto you, love your enemy, do good to them which hate you, and pray for them which curse you and despitefully use you. So he was talking about loving your enemy. And that would be kind of a different concept, because we're supposed to love God and our neighbor, but not our enemy. And here Jesus was saying, love your enemy. Show love to them. Pray for them. And that would definitely rile things in your mind. What do you mean, loving my enemy? One time I mentioned that to a man who was Palestinian. And I said, God's word says we're supposed to love our enemies. And he said, you mean love a Jew? I said, that's what the scripture says. And he just couldn't wrap his head around that. Because of what? What was in his head that wouldn't want to follow those instructions that Christ was giving there, were to love our enemy? That's part of the idea of you're supposed to love God, but hate your mother and father, etc. That's part of the mother and father and children that we're supposed to hate. If they express hate or other things, whatever is in their head, we don't stop loving them, the soul, but we don't like what comes out of their mouth. And that's what Jesus was talking about. So that's loving the message of Christ. And also, as Jesus said, that one time he gave a parable about this man that built his house on a rock, and he said the floods came and the rains came and beat upon that house and it didn't fall down. And he likened that to somebody who heard his words and did them. Doing them. That is, in essence, is following his teachings. Doing what he said, not just saying, I'm a Christian, but the idea of putting into practice what we're taught. He said, if you're like that, if you do them, then you're going to have a solid house. No matter what comes up against it, and that's not talking about hurricanes and stuff, but that's talking about ideas that come at us in our mind, we can withstand that. But he said, a man that hears and doesn't do what I say, then he's like a man that built his house on the sand. And when the winds blew and the rains came, the house fell, and great was the fall of that house.
Amen.
The idea of being a Christian means more than just saying, yes, I'm a Christian, but it is to do as a Christian. Live as a Christian. Live as Jesus did. He loved the poor. He loved the rich. He loved the scribes and Pharisees, but he hated what was in them, what was coming at him and saying, you can't do that. You can't heal people on the Sabbath day. Your disciples are breaking the law. They're working on the Sabbath day. You're casting out devils by Beelzebub. He loved them. But he didn't like what was coming out of their mouth, because he knew that was killing them. It wasn't killing him, because he knew to keep it out. It was killing them. And he wanted to give them life. The scriptures talk about, in John 1, about he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So Christ came. God had come to his own all along. He had sent prophets to them to the Jewish people trying to straighten up. They got the idol worship. He sent prophets to say, stop doing that. Obey the law. And when they wouldn't obey, then, as we know, when bad stuff happens, if we're disobedient, if we don't do what we know to do, then bad stuff happens. And that's what happens to the Jews. He said, if you don't straighten up, then this king of Babylon's going to come in. And guess what? They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. Where'd they go? They went to Babylon and took an 800-mile trip to Babylon and were there for 70 years because they wouldn't obey. But God said he wasn't going to leave them there. He was going to bring them out of Babylon and they were going to come back to Jerusalem. And they did. But the point is, if we listen to God and do what he says, then he's going to be with us. The blessings and the cursings in the Old Testament, when you read the law, there was some members of some tribes went on one mountain, and some members went on another. And the one group read the blessings. If you're obedient to me, then your crops are going to be great. All your cattle and sheep are going to grow and they're multiplying. The land is going to be full, and there's going to be fruits, and there's going to be all this abundance. The other six read the cursings. And they said, if you don't obey, the land's going to dry up. The cattle were going to die. The sheep, nothing's going to grow. You're going to be hauled off to other countries. It wasn't God doing it to them. It was their choice. They chose it. They chose to be disobedient to God. So when it comes to the new covenant, the message was, we heard, repent. Change around. It's like, I'm going this direction, then I'm going this way. But, do we turn back this way again? That's the kind of rotating, repenting. And when we're kind of in religion, or we're not in religion, we may tell ourselves, you know, I'm going to quit doing that. And we may be sincere in what we want to stop doing, but we can't seem to pull it out. Can't seem to do it. Paul mentioned that. He said the law was weak through the flesh. There wasn't much power in the law. The law said don't do these things, but there really wasn't the power. They kept sinning. Once the sin got into their head, it was there. It was something they had to wrestle with. But Paul also said that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now the new covenant was there. Now the power was there where they could hate their mother and father. And also another scripture, another take on this scripture is in the book of Luke, I believe, where it said, in your own life also. So what is in our life that we hate? It's the evil that works. The things we do that we don't want to do. We hurt people. We say things, etc. We do things. That's the thing in our life that we need to hate, because those things are not of God. And we can get Christ in us. How? Well, Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How? That's Christ coming to us, keeping his words. Number one, getting his words in our mind. It's like if you study anybody, Einstein or Freud or whatever, if you get all that knowledge in your head, then you got Freud in your head because you got what he taught. The same idea, if we get the words of Christ in our mind, then we got Christ in us.
Amen.
It's not the person, but his teaching. His word and spirit. Amen. We got Christ in us. The hope of glory. Kind of moving on from these lesser depths where we don't know much about God, but we can grow in word and spirit and learn more about God. The things Jesus taught, the things that Paul taught, Peter, James, John, etc. Because they had the words of God in them. if you look at the examples of the apostles, one time Jesus went through a city. It may have been, it was the city of the Samaritans. And these people said, told Jesus, if you're not going to stay here, then we don't want you to stay just overnight. If you're not going to stay here for like a week or something, don't even bother staying. James and John said, do you want us to pull fire down from heaven like Elijah did? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit ye are of. I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
Amen.
Here's an example of what was in Peter and John. There was not being a Christian. Don't kill. Do violence to no man, like John said. But later on, when we see John in his ministry, he talks about love. If you read 1 John, it's all about love. So he had hated the hatred that was in his mind. He got rid of it. Now there was love working because Christ had come to him. He got the words of Christ in his mind and got the bad stuff out. He cleaned house. Spring house cleaning. It was time to get the old stuff out of his head. And that's what he did through this process of discernment, repenting on what in our mind is not of God, what's not good, the stuff that we don't want. We get that out, and then we got Christ in us. Not magic, not instantaneous, you know, born again. Yeah, I was born again on such and such a date. Well, if you look in the natural, two people, man and woman, don't have a relationship and a baby's there the next day. It takes a gestation period, 9 months. Then the child's born, then he's not ready to go to college, he's got to grow up. You got to feed him, change him, clothe him. He has to be taught. It's the same way spiritually. We have to conceive the Christ child, we get some words of Christ in our mind, believe them.
Amen.
Then that's a conception. Then the more knowledge of the New Testament, more word and spirit in our mind, we're feeding that baby in our head. That's growing Christ in us.
Amen.
That's the Christ child. Jesus had a Christ in him. He grew Christ. He did. How do you do that?
Amen.
He got God's word in his head.
Amen.
If you look in his, when he was young, when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple listening to the lawyers and the doctors of the law, asking them questions. He learned the law. He learned the scriptures. When he fought with the devil, where'd he get those scriptures from? To not tempt the Lord thy God, man does not live alone. There are scriptures in the Old Testament. So he had that knowledge in his head. He had been taught. But God had, as he grew and listened to God and fine-tuned what was going on in his head and knew what to accept from somebody, he used discernment to keep, to kind of examine what people said. And he could keep the bad stuff out and get the good stuff in. When somebody said, you can do whatever you want as long as you come to synagogue every week, then he knew that wasn't right. He kept that out of his head. But he grew. The scriptures in the end, like the end of the third chapter in Luke, it talks about he grew in grace and knowledge and wisdom. He grew spiritually. He grew naturally, yes, but he also grew spiritually. That's what we do.
Amen.
We can grow in these things of God, not only in God's word, but in God's spirit. Like James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men liberally. We can ask God for things. God would like to have more love and be able to show love to people. Guess what? That's prayer to God. God, I need more love. Please give me love. I want to feel joy. I want to feel peace. There's a lot of turmoil going on. I want to feel peace in my mind. Guess what? One of those innumerable company, that whole bunch of angels can come and minister love or joy or peace or whatever we want. More wisdom, more understanding. God, help me understand what your scriptures say. God can send an angel, whether physical or spiritual. Like the scriptures talk about, Jesus said that the children of the resurrection are as the angels. Why? Because angels have come and ministered to that person's mind. They become an angel in their head because they got God's word and spirit that came to them from an angel. Whether again a physical person who has angel material or angel God's knowledge in their head, or by these invisible angels that deposit to our mind. So we're going to grow a body. We had a body of sin. Romans talks about knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's not this body. It's the body of sin in our head. That's what's going to be destroyed.
Amen.
By this Holy Ghost and fire baptism. And we can grow a new body. The scriptures talk about the old man, but guess what? It talks about a new man, too. That's this Christ we can grow. We can have a new man in our mind by getting these words of Christ. New Testament teachings in our head. We can learn about all the parables that he talked about. The parable of the sower. Now, he talked about farming a lot because that's what people did. He came down to their level. He didn't use $50 words when he talked to them. He talked about things that they understood. He talked about the kingdom of God is like a man who was seeking goodly pearls, a merchant man. These different things. They were looking for God. And guess what? They found it. God made it available to them in the new covenant. Jesus was going to get those 12 guys ready. Judas fell out. He chose not to. And he was replaced. He put that knowledge in those 12 guys' head. Then it was 120 in the upper room. And guess what? When they came out, it wasn't very long. There was like 3,000 added to the church. Then the message went out. Paul went up into Greece and these different places, even all the way to Rome. The word spread. Christianity, that message went out. And it said that the scriptures in, there's a scripture I believe in, Colossians, it said the word went to the whole world. The known world at that time had an opportunity to get eternal life in their mind, to get Christ in them. Not Christ the person, but what he taught, and also that power over evil that he brought. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace power was the power to get the sin out of their lives and build a new man in their head. So we can get a new man in our mind. We can start tearing down the old man, tearing down the things we don't like that we think and do. Because those things make us miserable, make other people miserable. But God can get them out. Get hooked into God, and God can help us get this body built that we want and will make us happy.
Amen.
And wicked eternal life is kind of a benefit. That's part of it. We'll get eternal life, yeah. But God wants us to have peace and joy and love and all these things that He has. He wants to give that to us. He doesn't want to hold it back. He doesn't want to stay distant. People say, well, God's far away, he's not close. Well, Paul said he was close. He said to feel after him because he's not far from every one of us. He's as far away as the thought. We think about God and ask God for things. He can give us the things we want and need.
Amen.